Live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus, the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition this hour. Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. Toronto Maple Leafs, after a impressive win against Tampa Bay, 24 hours later, lay an egg.
Understatement.
Loss 6-2 to Columbus. And let me just open it up to you, JB, first, and then you, Sammy, with what was that?
You know, it's like the reverse of, like, just when I thought we were out, they pull me back in. Like, it's like,
We suck.
I just thought, I really, after six games, had talked myself into being like, this is a different Leaf team. Galley said it. Shelley said it. This is a different Leaf team. And last night it was like, oh, it's the same Leaf team.
We didn't make that
up. It's the same cast of characters.
It was.
That they're different.
Yes.
They were looking very different.
Yes.
Until they didn't. Yeah. And then, you know, last year they had the reputation for when the second you heaped praise on them and told them they were great, they would find a way to kick you in the somewhere and make you look silly.
Should we be worried about Sammy at all a little bit today, because he's one of those guys? And I've had a lot of good things to say about the Toronto Maple Leafs as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there was
on
occasion in the last little while, I've been telling you, it's only six games. Relax. It's just a start.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Where are you today, Sammy, off of that loss last night?
I am feeling very dumb. but that's a normal day for me. That's a normal day for me. But, you know.
Did you get duped?
I didn't even sniff it out.
No.
That's the most, like, that is how.
Usually you're cynical and skeptical.
That is how into the Berube Leafs I am and how much I'm believing. I didn't even mention the possibility of a letdown spot on the second half of a back-to-back with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. Having maybe their best performance in a regular season game I can maybe ever remember them. And then following with maybe their most pathetic performance I've ever seen them have in this era. It was a really just, that's a same old Leafs moment. And I am embarrassed, quite frankly. I didn't even mention the possibility.
You know,
I didn't even sniff it out.
I think that part of what had been labeled same old Leafs was their ability to, again, when it feels up here, they don't, there's that letdown. You kind of felt like Berube would not let them do it. Mm. You know, that there would be this different voice, this more intimidating presence that would say, convince them that, you know, to keep the pedal down, and it didn't matter who was behind the bench.
They've put a lot of good work in since training camp, and training camp, from all indications, was different with the one-on-one battles, and it had a much different feel. Everything up until going into that game last night had a different feel. You can't take it all away with just one bad loss.
Nope, I agree, Kip.
You don't want to do that?
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay,
I don't.
Okay, good. Because I was having thoughts.
But I'm not going to let him off the hook entirely either here. But I think up until going into last night, we witnessed with our own eyes what the potential is and what their range could look like when it matters most. So we had small sample sizes of that. I don't want to take that away from them today.
No, I think that's important, Kip. So I wrote an article today about, is this Leafs team different? What have we learned, sort of thing? And it is different. You mentioned before the North-South game that they had been playing. There's lots of stuff in the stats about them breaking the puck out better, dumping the puck in more, doing a lot of the things that we said they had to do to win more. They are doing those things. At the end of the day, it is, you go as your leaders go, as your core goes. And I thought last night they stunk out loud. I thought Matthews and Marner, their line was gross. You know, I was going to say to you guys before you came in here that I watched some of the goals back last night and, like, through the neutral zone and the back check and the sort outs and whatever. Oh, yeah. Bad as I've ever seen it from that line. And then, and that's your leaders. You're supposed, your guys are supposed to be like.
So you mentioned at the start of training camp or during our couple of our first shows, when guys were getting banged up and they were a little bit nicked up here and there, that playing with Greg Berube's style may come with consequences in terms of injuries and whatnot. Was last night a consequence of how hard they played on Monday night? Because I don't think
they played hard Saturday against the Rangers too.
I know, and I never have seen them play as hard as they did on Monday. And maybe it just takes some getting used to for these guys in terms of the level that they need to be at for their coach to be happy. I don't know. Is there anything there?
I think there's something to be said there for sure in terms of, like, you know, another example, and we talked about this, about Max Pacioretty, that here's a guy that played a certain style his whole career where he's the number one left winger, goal scorer, and now since training camp, he doesn't know where his role is, what his fit is, and I got to tell you, like,
you're connecting those dots, the injury and the physical play.
I've been impressed with how hard that guy has hit a few people up until this point.
But he ran a man through the glass last night.
And
great camera.
And I joked yesterday that if he would have played like this throughout his whole career, we would have been looking at him in a much different light.
He also may have played a lot less hockey games, I think, is where you're going with this.
Where I'm going with is that it's one thing to start a training camp or first couple of games with this juice and this, you know, piss and vinegar, but are you able to sustain it? Can you do it? Have you done it enough times to know when to do it, when not to do it, when to back off? Next thing you know, I don't know, he disappeared last night. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Third period, he left the game with an apparent upper body injury.
Didn't come back for the third.
And sounds like, from what I've heard, so, they still don't have an answer on his injury.
Lower body. Lower body.
Lower body, okay. McMahon, same thing. Saw some big hits from you over the start of the season. Now you go into Columbus, you played the night before. You're tired. It's not right for
you.
Was
it physical enough for you?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Like, they're down, what,
5-1,
and Holmberg's getting smoked in the neutral zone.
Yes.
Like, let's reverse that, and let's have a Leaf go and smoke one of those guys just to give them a little bit of a, hey, we're sore losers here. Mm-hmm. This isn't the same team before. We're up or down. I'm going to smoke you.
Yeah.
But none of them showed up to do that. So that's the tricky part is bringing it when you don't feel right. Mm-hmm. And that's what they may have to learn here moving forward.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it just felt like that game was so over, you know, for so long that, yeah, I get your point there that you want the pushback, but like the Reeves and Domi taking dumb penalties. And it was like, what is that? Is that what you want? You like that sort of?
No,
you know?
No. I don't want Max.
I enjoyed that.
I don't want. Just taking a bad penalty isn't enough for me, like off a faceoff for Max. I'd rather him go and do something like he did when they were up against Tampa Bay and came in and helped a teammate out and ended up fighting Gergensen's.
One thing to keep an eye on with this Leafs team, and I do get the impression that there is some try to impress the coach sort of thing, but they are the third worst in the league in penalty differential so far, -7. They've taken 7 more minors than they've drawn. So they've been shorthanded more than the other team every single game, more or less. So that's something that they typically hadn't done. I think last year they were about even in penalties taken and drawn. In fact, I know they were -2. So anyway, something to keep an eye on.
Do you happen to know who the best in that was?
No, but the worst was Anaheim last year, -94. -94 minor penalties compared to the how many.
Oh my God. That's insane.
But I'll find that answer for you right
now. Thank
you. Okay, let's go to our first Kipper's Clipper of the day with Craig Berube on what he saw last night or didn't see.
It's really boils down to in the game is, you know, I didn't feel like we skated very well tonight. They skated through us all night. And we didn't win many puck battles tonight. Didn't defend very well tonight. And that's what you get. The only thing that was good tonight was the penalty kill.
Penalty kill is up to 87%. By the way, the Devils are +9 minors so far.
One more.
Yep.
Can we go to Craig on what he said to his team?
Yeah, no, I always talk to the team, but they know. You know, we got to move on from it, but at the same time, we got to learn. Really? And, you know, the frustration that you have right now, we got to channel it properly and get ready for the next game.
Okay. Again, I'm not taking away anything that they've done to work up until that point of the hockey game. I didn't like Craig Berube last night. Didn't like what he said after. Didn't like the players' comments after. Felt like they all took themselves off the hook last night. And I did not like that. That, to me, was nothing more than another shrug-off loss. Mm-hmm. It bothered me. And he says, well, they know. No, they don't know. Take a look.
Just move on.
Take a look.
They do. They move on quickly.
They don't move on because it's the same thing. Like, they've lost to lesser teams.
Well, that's what I mean. They just, right? Like, turn the page and, all right, no, new day, no, and they don't.
Somebody, whether it was Craig last night, whether it was Austin, Mitch, somebody had to kind of look into the camera and say,
this is a joke.
Like, I'm getting so tired of this.
Yeah, you want that,
yeah,
from a
I do.
New team, new year. Hasn't happened yet this year. You 100%. Want them to bring in the past like that?
Do we have Austin's comments last night?
Before we get to that, just like, you think it was last night was the right time to use your first bullet if
on
you're
back to back with travel?
Last night would have been a good one.
You think?
Yes. Yeah.
The one thing that, you know.
Listen, six games in, okay? Tired. Don't go to tired.
Yeah.
Please don't. Don't. It's too early for me.
Yep.
Okay. It's the first back to back. You're not flying to middle America. You didn't have to go to California. Mm-hmm. You got on a plane and flew an hour and change.
Yep.
New Tampa, 3-4, pooped the bed against Toronto.
Did they ever?
They went into New Jersey, found a way to win. Mm-hmm. They didn't use back-to-back as an excuse.
But it's funny you mentioned other teams because, like, part of me is like, okay, don't overreact to this Leafs game because look at the Atlantic Division. Last night, Boston loses by 4-2. Florida loses by 4-2. I understand the teams they played were a little bit better, but they weren't on a back-to-back. So it's like, good. My point is, good teams lose by 4. You have a game where you go, we suck tonight, and you move on. But you're lumping it in with the greater picture of this group.
The mindset of again being in a position where you go in, you should have a better effort, if not win. Mm-hmm. And it didn't show up for 60 minutes. And to all collectively just look at each other and say, flush it down the toilet and let's move on. And no.
Did you want the Matthews call?
I just want to say, your worst against Columbus should be a close game.
Should be a close game.
You're absolutely okay. Worst.
Let's listen to Austin.
Neutral zone was the Autobahn for them tonight. You know, they were just coming in flying through, and we didn't have very good gaps, very good angles. You know, it didn't transition very well, and, you know, on nights where the puck's bobbling, you're fighting it a little bit. Got to simplify it, but like I said, just from the start, it just seemed like they were much more prepared and dialed in than us.
Okay. I mean, all right, so he gave us a recap.
Like, the Autobahn.
It was the Autobahn.
Okay, but...
It's pretty funny, actually.
Here comes Justin Danforth. You know, it wasn't exactly Dylan Larkin.
Don't want funny Austin.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want funny Austin. I want Captain Austin.
Yeah.
I don't know
if he's trying to be funny.
I want to feel something different because that letter is on your jersey right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even simply saying, I'm tired of this. This is unacceptable. Okay. No one's saying that. It's guaranteed night. We must win. But we got to be better than that 6 games into the season.
I wonder if that's a lesson for him in that you can't play like he played like that and then call out your team. He didn't play well enough to get to say anything. He was...
Again, say something a little different, okay? It starts with me. That's all he needs to say.
Yep.
And then go into the Autobahn and say whatever. Yeah. But say... I got to be better. Yeah. That's unacceptable. Because all I got was the same old kind of shrug it off and let's move on and flush it down the toilet. To me, it's not the 60 minutes. It's just the mindset of where you are. And again, I'm not saying that you gave all your effort since the start of training camp back last night, but you gave them something.
Yeah. I think you certainly gave up the right... For the, you know, to have people feel like it's you're a different group. Like, it still comes down to how this core performs.
Yeah,
and it's still going to be the core when it comes down to playoffs, and it's still going to come down to them.
Like, I do think that it is a, you know, one of a lot of games that they're going to play in the regular season.
Yeah.
But I will say that it was definitely a wake-up call to the fan base.
Yeah, and hopefully to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking, like, a lot of the texts and conversations and things that were getting sent to me while I was doing Leafs talk and all that stuff, there was a lot of same old Leafs talk, which wasn't really happening until last night. So it just shows how fragile maybe this fan base is. But last night was a real wake-up call for everybody, I think.
Yeah. I mean.
Okay, where do you want to go? You want to?
Well, I mean,
forwards, defense, goaltending.
It doesn't look like it looks like if Dennis Hildeby is average.
So I thought, yes, you're right. It was horrible goaltending, but I mean, top to bottom,
yeah.
He had no help either.
No, we got a clip from Berube on Hildeby. Let's listen to clip 4.
Yeah, it'd be fine. I mean, he's young, you know. You know, it goes like that sometimes. That's part of learning to be a pro and dealing with things, ups and downs like that.
Yes. Now get him down to the Marlies as fast as you can.
So, you know, it is tough, and he didn't look very good last night. But, you know, in the second half of back-to-back, often you start slow. And how many times you've watched over your life watching a hockey game that your second NHL-caliber goalie is in the net in the second half of back-to-back, bails you out a couple times in the first period, you get your legs, and you get into a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really do have a... I know he's a professional athlete, and he's a young goalie, but, like, he's their third, fourth-string goalie called into action here because your starting goalie that you gave $11 million to has disappeared before the season starts, and it's just every day we're getting an update. Oh, he's getting close. Well, it's almost like the end of October here, and we're still getting close.
I remember he missed the first start due to tightness.
Yeah, like...
As tightness... 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm getting a little frustrated with this because, sure, he wasn't great last night and they needed him to be better and he was good against the Devils, but you would like that to be Stolarz or Wall because you have a much better chance to win the game if you have one of your NHL-caliber goalies. Like, you got to get in some games here.
Big picture, sure, Sam, but it's also, this is a guy who's going to play games. Your third stringer is going to play games this year. Yeah. Last year, Martin Jones played 10 games or more. Didn't he play quite a... Anyway,
I think he played 19 games last
year. He was great for them. Yeah. You know, and they've had pretty decent third stringers, and so it's a little concerning that he went up against Columbus. The guy shot it through him, first shot attempt. Mm-hmm. There's a couple rebounds in there, but mostly just first shot.
Yeah, he was just not ready. They weren't ready. He's had a wonderful experience up until this point.
A lot off the rush, but yeah.
Right? But it's, you don't want to. You don't want to put him in another position like that. So if Joseph Wall's ready to back up, then put him on the bench tomorrow night. Put him on the bench.
You're not going
to
play?
No.
Play?
No.
What do you mean no?
I can't come off that game last night and put Joseph Wall in tomorrow night or Saturday night.
Or Saturday night.
Stolarz. And let's...
Kid, when he's ready, they got to get him back in the mix here. No. He's got to play hockey.
You know when I'm putting him in? After Boston.
Is it Boston
Winnipeg,
Saturday?
Winnipeg.
The team that hasn't lost yet?
Yes, the team that hasn't lost yet. They go to Winnipeg on Monday.
So why wouldn't you put him in there? Just remind me. On Thursday?
Because they played like I had Steve Alliquette tell me that my guy's the best goalie in the league right now.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay.
You want to win, and you think Stolarz gives you the best chance to win?
100%.
So it's just a riding the hot hand as opposed to getting Wall
yes.
to feel the puck.
I got a guy feeling really good right now that I just rested, and it cost me 2 points.
Yep.
I ain't giving another 2 points away.
And it's totally fair, and I like it.
I like it too.
You know, it's like this guy has swooped in here, and when you're, like I said, starting goalie disappears before the start of the season, he's come in and giving you literally the best goaltending in the NHL. Should probably reward it.
But on the other hand, I do think then Saturday you go back to Wall. Assuming Stolarz gets you a win on Thursday, then you say, I don't care if it's Saturday and it's the Boston Bruins. We play the Bruins, they're in our league, and you play in Toronto. But it's a high stakes? All high stakes.
And
go play.
It's a team that keeps knocking us out.
Yeah.
It's another way of going in there and sending a message that we are different. That's the way I'll look at it. And then starting Monday, you hit the road. You've got Winnipeg, Seattle, You come back home for Seattle, but then you go back on the road, St. Louis, Minnesota. Plenty of hockey there to get Joseph Woll in there.
Let's see if Berube excuses it. We got lots of people to talk about, but let's just see if Berube excuses the fatigue thing as a factor. Clip five, please.
How much does fatigue factor into a performance like that?
Well, you know, that's an excuse, though, isn't it?
Right.
Right, so I'm not going there.
Not enough for
good
you.
Good for him.
Yeah, like
I didn't go there today.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
I was going to do.
That's okay.
I mean, it's undeniably a factor in why their performance was worse. It doesn't mean it's a it's okay to lose because of sort of thing, but it's a factor.
Mm.
Yeah. So a number of players that had concerning performances. I mentioned the top guys.
Yeah.
But for me, Holmberg has looked like an American Hockey League player for a number of games in a row.
Not good.
Ekman-Larsson had his worst game yet as a Leaf, and I'm immediately worried people are going to start making him Jake Gardner.
Tanev,
yeah. And Morgan Riley, I think, has been sneaky not great. Everyone's like, well, what's Riley going to turn into with Tanev? It's like, has he been better with Tanev?
No.
I don't notice him less.
Need way more out of Morgan.
Yeah, like he's $7.5 million. He's supposed to be one of the core guys, too. I think we kind of let him off the hook sometimes on this show.
I think it was the fourth goal where it's a neutral zone cross-ice pass. He's there with Marchenko.
Mm-hmm.
And Marchenko just blows right by him and gets a great quality shot that leads to Monahan's fourth goal. Game over.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where's your angle? Where's your gap? Where's...
He struggles there. He backs way off sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. That's not... $7.5 million value there.
But you know what's hard to do? Good gaps. This is what it's like, effort and discipline. It's hard to have a good gap. You have to get up with the rush, come back with the rush. Like it's, instead of just waiting for it lazily,
he's got to close that off. That there's no shot. If it is, it's incredibly weak. You can't get that much off a shot at that angle.
Yeah. So then why?
And no back pressure, which you praised tons yesterday.
Nothing.
No back pressure.
But Riley, I mean, his calling card would be his skating.
Yeah.
You would think that would be something that would be a strength for him, and it never really has been.
No, you're right. He does back off a little bit more than I would like him to. Typically, when he is lazier, like last night, it can be really evident sometimes.
God, that OEL pizza was just
so bad,
hot and fresh.
It didn't have to end up as a goal,
though. No, it did.
Like, his OEL then kind of came over to the puck side. Marner's on the puck side, like... Marner's trying to tell him, like, hey, there's a guy in your lane over there. We don't need you over here, and it's too late. Need a save there, but.
Yeah. Need a save.
Yeah. Big, juicy rebound there.
Anyway.
The lines concerning on Tavares et al. Continuing. Hooking penalty leads to not being in position.
Mm.
We've seen a few more of those penalties.
For sure. I mean, he is, it's a real concern.
Take him off the power play, and like, it's time to put Matthew Nyes there.
Yeah, you're ready to make the move?
I am ready to make the move.
It's going to get harder here for Tavares because he obviously can still finish and he's still got great hockey sense. And how can you utilize him? It feels like more and more you're going to have to protect him in this last year of his deal. Which makes you wonder about the next. People are like, it'd be a discount next deal. It's like, sure you want it?
No.
Anyway.
Just seems to me like the things that he's been accustomed to doing over the course of his career, which is handling the puck and shooting it in good quality areas, is kind of dried up for him.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you go to try to enhance the things that he's still good at. And you make a very valid point. The guy can still shoot it in the net. He can still find loose pucks in a radius and make some quality plays. But they are far and fewer than we've seen in the past.
I mean, he set up the 6-1 goal, 6-2 goal.
By the way, nice finish from Robertson, who it was predicted on the show would score.
Yeah.
Did you make anybody money?
Yeah,
I made myself money.
I actually got a lot of messages from people being like, thanks for the money.
You cheered. You cheered on that goal.
I actually
bet $12 and made 57.
I actually had a laugh. I was like, that was the most vintage time for Robertson to score.
Well, you and Davey had some nicknames?
The one that's really mean, no stakes, Nick.
No stakes, Nick.
It's very.
When there's no stakes, no one is more likely to score.
I saw somebody.
Columbus down 5 in the third.
I don't know who it was. I saw a Senator tweet, though. It was a picture of Gretzky, like, skating fast, and it's like Nick Robertson in a blowout. And I was like, oh, that's that's tough.
So if you get a lot more efforts out of the team in the first six games, you could buy some time for Nick Robertson.
Yeah.
But by the way, it was a great goal.
Beautiful goal.
Okay. Meaningless goal.
Beautiful.
Please.
Hey, listen. Look who you're talking to. I know it was meaningless, but it was a beautiful goal. Okay.
You can not hide him, but you could protect him. But if it's going to look more like last night, I'm not sure.
What's last night, bad?
Yeah.
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 I didn't know specifically you meant him. Obviously, last night was bad. But.
Can you keep Nick Robertson in the lineup if it doesn't look like you're playing like you played in Tampa versus Tampa?
Yeah, I think he's been better than his stats reflect. I don't think he's not a concern for me. No, I shouldn't say he's not a concern. He's on my watch list for sure, but he's not anywhere near the top of importance or people I think need to come out.
So, you know, Borny and I mentioned this a little bit when we were sitting at our desk, but yeah, like, you know, all of a sudden here after one loss, which is classic sports radio thing to do, but you look at Pacioretty's hurt now, and I mean, you know, maybe some day-to-day conversation out there. We don't know really what it is. He's hurt. Holmberg's underperforming. Robertson has one goal and a blowout. Tavares is not looking like, you know, we talked about the depth of this team and like how like the bottom half of the lineup's looking so good and, you know, the fourth line.
But there isn't the depth at center.
No, but no, I just mean like all of a sudden you're like, oh boy, you know, David Kampf sits out last night.
Well, and that's a natural centerman who could take draws.
It is a reminder that you can't just ship this guy out of town because you want to pay someone $500,000 less.
It shouldn't go unnoticed or not mentioned that David Kampf, they felt comfortable enough to keep him out of the lineup. He is a natural centerman. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out Max's short and long-term projections as a centerman. They're trying to do the same thing with Holmberg, yet they took away the guy that is the most natural at that position last night.
Yeah, and like I got no problem with it. You know, you're playing Columbus. You should be able to take out your fourth line center.
It was a problem.
It was a problem, but I got no problem going into the game saying, look, we can't be Columbus without David Kampf. We're probably too close to the margins here anyway. So I don't mind him being out, but it definitely was noticeable last night. Yeah. Max Domi's kind of chunky from I Think You Should Leave. It's like, what's your thing? You got to figure out what your thing is. Is he going to be a center, a second line guy? Is he going to be a power play guy?
Kampf hasn't been playing much. Like he's like
low minutes. He's not a Berube guy apparently.
His highest of the year is 12-28.
And he actually a couple of years ago when I looked at this, he was fifth in average ice time per game behind the big four. Like Keith used him a lot. Yeah. So for forwards, right? Yeah.
The fourth line didn't look very good either.
Let me stop this conversation. Was there anyone you liked?
Yes. No. No, correct.
Anyone? McCabe okay?
I did like when Reeves jumped in on whoever hit Holmberg. I did like that. So I'll give Reeves a pass. That was nice.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's just, I like when teams are pissed that they're losing. And the Leafs have been so passive when they're losing.
Like a moment, but he played 10 minutes of hockey.
Yeah, he didn't play great.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, Holmberg, we talked about eligible to hit yesterday. Has anyone ever skated into the trolley tracks worse than him there?
Yes, Justin Barron.
Yeah, Barron on Trouba.
Oh, my God.
I was, like, trying to find a way to tiptoe around that on air last night. Because Barron got badly hurt, and so you don't want to be insensitive.
Yeah.
But, like, can't skate at Jake Trouba.
Yeah. And neither can Holmberg on that play.
No, but at least, yeah. Holmberg's 220 pounds or something person, so that helps him a bit. But
yeah. Well, McCabe had the bad pinch, and then it was followed up by another bad pinch by Max Domi, which led to one of the goals.
Way too many bad pinches. Way too many. Even like the sixth goal, Ekman Larson's in deep.
Did we jinx them? By mentioning like we don't see odd man rushes, we don't see bad pinches this year. What else did I say?
Oh, great back pressure.
Back pressure.
From the neutral zone, yeah.
Literally everything
you said. And says it was the Autobahn. It was Columbus.
There ain't no Autobahn in Columbus,
baby. Autobahn. I mean.
Yeah. It was like the roof caved in on everything that we spoke about so positively.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable. Quite honestly, it was pretty remarkable.
But, when people say same old Leafs, that is same old Leafs.
Yeah.
The second you believe, they're like, pull out the tablecloth.
Yeah. I did like Nyes' goal. That was a very nice goal.
Yeah, took the puck shot. At the
It was really very nice. Yeah, he's getting better.
Actually, maybe Nyes is okay.
Yeah, that's maybe, okay. Maybe a conversation for a different day, but the contract I worry about, maybe not Marner. Maybe him.
And Myrtle had an article that McCabe deal is getting close.
Please tell me you're not sweating over Matthew Nyes.
No, not sweating, but I think about it when I watch him improve every single
game. But you just told me it's like you're thinking about it more so than Marner's.
Everything I've read about
Marner. He's going nowhere.
What do you think about...
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Jake Neighbors in St. Louis last year. No. Jake Neighbors in St. Louis just signed 2 × 3.75.
Yeah.
He scored 27 times last year.
Yeah. But that's
Does that help the Leafs?
That's a team that's scared to go longer and deeper because you're not sure what you're paying for just yet.
Right. And you're sure that Nyes is... I mean, I'm sure.
Oh, listen, if you want to go young prospect like Slafkovský, which is what, 8 × 8?
Is that what he got, 8 × 8?
Yeah.
Is that what he got?
He did get a long one. I don't know if it was 8 × 8.
I mean, Leafs have the option of doing that with Matthew Nyes now, but why?
8 × 8?
I don't know. What is it?
Well, Slafkovský is 8 × 7.6, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, $60.8
million. But I mean, Slafkovský was a first overall pick.
Buddy, listen, this is the way the agents think now.
Oh, my God. Okay? We're not doing Nyes.
No, you're talking about now. What is the difference between Slafkovský's value to Montreal's and Matthew Nyes right now? As the top...
Slafkovský supposed to have a massive ceiling?
I don't care. No, so is Nyes. They're both the number one wingers on their respective hockey clubs.
One of them is a first overall pick who's 6'4" and still coming into it. Nyes is 32.
He's not dead.
No, he's not. But he's a couple years older than him.
Yeah.
23?
He's 22, actually.
22.
He's 22.
And plays at 235, 240.
So you think Slafkovský and Nyes are comparables. What are we doing right now?
I'm telling you, if you want to skip the process and go straight to long term, that's the type of contract Matthew Nyes would want.
All right, well, let's hit a bridge and let's hit a break because we got to get to Josh Cloak.
All right.
You guys got me fired up today.
Oh, I love it.
Okay,
who do I like when you're mad. Josh Cloak coming up after. From The Athletic.
Okay, plenty. He'll calm us all down.
Yeah, right.
All right, that and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Leaf Edition Hour, the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Let's welcome in Joshua Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic. Josh will calm us all down here.
He's not even on a patio having a beer like he used to be in our old interviews.
Josh, what's going on, man?
Yeah, that's old Cloak. Old Cloak would have been on a patio. It is a beautiful day. You're right. You're making me feel bad now.
was that game by the Leafs enough to make you want to drink last night?
For some, I'm sure. But like, wasn't it expected? Am I the only one that thought like that kind of game was expected? You come off like the best game, you know, the Leafs have played all season. And like, frankly, like one of the most complete performances this kind of team has shown over the past few seasons. And like Craig Berube hockey is demanding. And I imagine it's exhausting watching their practices, you know, watching the way that they play, watching the way that they forecheck, watching the way that they play physically. Like the letdown is real. It sounds obvious, but like, didn't they just look like a bit hungover to you? And I'm sure they weren't, but like, didn't they just look like that, slow, lethargic? And I think that's just bound to happen when you put everything into a game that I think really mattered, a performance that really mattered on Monday. You combine it with a flight, they get in late. I don't know. I guess I am calming you down because to me it was expected.
But like, isn't that depressing? Like, isn't that... You know, going into this year with a new coach, I would totally be on board with you if it was the same coach as last year. We go, this is always how it goes with this team. Wasn't it depressing if you're a Leafs fan that it was supposed to be different, but it wasn't? It was just the same?
Yeah, I hear you on that one. I guess it's just a matter of like it's still so early in the season, and like I'm not a sports science dude, but I imagine that it just takes longer for your bodies to acclimatize to just like the heightened physical demands that I think come with playing Craig Berube hockey. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, maybe come the dog days of January, your bodies are used to this and you're used to the travel and I just think there was, frankly, it felt like an adrenaline letdown. Because again, like I can tell you, watching Craig Berube practices every practice, they're short, but boy, are they intense, right? They're fiery. You see guys, their faces just look longer after practices. Especially some of the younger guys, I think they're just, they're physically draining. And it's a long, I understand these are going to sound like excuses, but it's a longish flight. Like it's not Ottawa, it's not Detroit. So I don't know. Am I not panicking enough? Like I'm not that bothered by it, because like, frankly, if you're the Leafs, wouldn't you rather show that you can beat Tampa than like kind of, I don't know, squeak by Columbus? I don't know. Am I being too rational here?
We're talking to Joshua Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic. So I think your words could carry a lot of weight if, in fact, that they can bounce back and have a very good effort against the St. Louis Blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that might have the biggest impact on what and how we feel 48 hours or 72 hours after that dreadful game against Columbus. So how much stock do you put into tomorrow night versus St. Louis for you?
Yeah, you're right. I do put a lot to that. I put a lot as well into the lineup choices. Like, isn't that one of the more interesting kind of storylines coming out of this early season, is the fact that like for so long, this team was so tied up against the cap that they were dressing the same guys, that there was very little flexibility. Now they're in a place where they can like literally, like last night they had $6.1 million in the press box, a $6.1 million cap hit in the press box last night. That's fascinating to me, right? Because the whole plan for this team coming into the season was load the team up, give Craig Berube lots of options to create a competitive kind of camp and a competitive team. And we saw that, right? Max Pacioretty comes out of the lineup and then he comes back in and he scores, right? That's what you want. But what you really want to see is the guys that come out of the lineup respond. I guess I'm just kind of projecting forward here. Like, it's one thing to think about the response to St. Louis, but man, I really think about the fact that like 20 games into the season, you can't keep $6 million in the press box. And I know it's not like for like, but $6 million could probably, you know, in a perfect world, get you that third line center that you need, like that forward help that you need. That's what I really want to see. Like, it's one thing to say, yeah, how is David Camp going to respond when theoretically he gets back in the lineup? How is Timothy Liljegren going to look when he, you know, could get back in the lineup? But how is this going to play out eventually? Because you can't keep $6 million in the press box every night, right?
Well, one of
isn't it seven, by the way?
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Like,
I got back of the napkin math here and it's 6.1.
Yeah.
6.175.
This particular, yeah, I know. Yeah. But you're right. It's Liljegren at $3 million, Kampf at 2.4,
yeah,
and Yarncroc at 2.
Are we not counting Joe Wall?
I had Philippe Myers. I just had the guys in the box last night.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, they're not available, but, you know, we'll see when Yarncroc is available,
yeah,
because, I mean, to your point about lineup choices, you know, Yarncroc, where's he in your short term or long term?
We haven't even talked about Connor Dewar. Like, there's so many players here that I really don't know what that top 12 looks like. I don't know if they look yet. And I get the idea. create competition, create demand, right? Create, you know, a sense of urgency in players that heightens the competitiveness that, like, I'm sure they're thinking maybe wasn't there in years past. But at some point, you're going to have to move guys, and you're just not at that point in the year where you can move players really easily. So I don't know. I think there's some really hard decisions that are going to have to be made. Injuries happen as well, right? We get that. Mm-hmm. But I just, I wonder. I really wonder what it's going to look like. That's going to be a huge story, because guys do respond. That's what's interesting to me about Craig Berube, is like Bobby McMahon kind of gets called out in preseason. He's looked fantastic, right? Nick Robertson scores his first goal. I think he's hasn't gotten the luck, but I think he's looked good. It wouldn't surprise me if David Camp plays really well, right? Mm-hmm. Assuming he gets into Morrow. But you're kind of punting these big, big decisions on who gets in, who gets out, because you can't, they're going to be over the cap at some point. And something's got to give here.
Got all these names. It's like the Leafs need like a really nice pair of shoes to go to a ball, and they've got instead 10 bad pairs of shoes. And they're like, we have like all these guys, all these pairs of shoes. It's like, can we just get like a good, viable third line center? Sorry, that was a very weird analogy.
I liked it. That was good.
I do want to get to the Joseph Woll. He is healthy, not healthy. You know, how has his position and standing on this team changed since we opened camp with him, everyone saying he's there, 1A?
Is it that his standing has changed, or Anthony Stolarz's standing?
Well, that would change his standing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, has he not been their, I don't know, has he not been their best player so far this season? Yeah. And again, that sense of competition and that sense of like let's get players pushing for lineup spots. Nothing should be guaranteed. Now that applies to Joseph Woll. I'm still a Joseph Woll backer. Yep. I do think that like there's been a lot of bad luck with his injuries. I don't think he's injury prone, and I think we've also seen in this market it doesn't take long for players, if you do put the injury prone tag on him, it doesn't take long to shed that, right? We were talking about Nick Robertson a year ago as being injury prone. We're not having that conversation about him anymore. So the narrative around a player can change really quickly. I think the Leafs still believe in Joseph Woll's upside and his potential in a very real way. There's obvious frustration about the fact that he continues to get hurt, but I don't think it's for lack of, you know, taking care of his body. I don't think there's any blame. I don't know. The schedules get so jammed the beginning of the season. You know, I was kind of looking at my own travel schedule for December, and I'm like, they play 15 games in 30 days in December.
Wow.
They're going to need Joseph Woll. Mm-hmm. Dennis Hildeby, not on him last night, but you're still not at a point. He might be the number three, but you're still not at a point where you're like, yeah, we could probably give him, you know, a few games here. I think Joe Woll is still a very important piece of this organization. Wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, if he plays a lot next week, because, you know, you also don't want to burn out Anthony Stolarz. But we have to give credit to him, Stolarz. He's been far better than expected. But I really believe, I believe in Joseph Woll, and I think the Leafs really do believe in him still as well.
So I gave my two cents on where I thought, where Joseph Woll could come in and play in the next three games. Short term, St. Louis tomorrow night, Boston Saturday night, Winnipeg Monday night for the Leafs. Where do you see Joseph Woll coming in?
Winnipeg. That was a long pause, but I would think Winnipeg. I think Stolarz has deserved the chance to do Boston, right? Which we've all had circled on the calendar as, you know, the game of the early season. The St. Louis one makes a little bit of sense, given that he's a St. Louis guy. Maybe that's something that maybe the past coaching group would have cared about a little bit more, but no.
Well, is he ready? Sorry to interrupt you. Is he ready to play if they give him the nod?
Well, that's why today being an off day was kind of like crucial. I wouldn't surprise me if he skated you know, in full today. I suspect he'll be ready to go tomorrow as a backup, right? I think the Leafs are going to be cautious with him. So that's why Winnipeg is the one that makes a lot of sense to me. Because Stolarz had the day off, right? He had the last game off. He's going to be ready to go against St. Louis. He's deserved the chance to play against the best in Boston, a game that you know that, like, given what they did against Tampa, they're going to be up for that game on Saturday night against Boston. And that just sets up for Stolarz, you know, deserving then a break against Winnipeg. And that's the game that I think Joe Woll comes back for.
Josh, great stuff, man. Thanks for doing this.
Next time I'll have a beer, I promise.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
That's Joshua Cloak from The Athletic, covers the Leafs.
You know what's fresh on my mind is Joseph Woll came back last year, right, against Boston on a Saturday night, and it was like he wasn't ready, and they were like, yeah, give him the game, give him the game. I believe I was probably saying that too, and I think they lit him up, if I'm not mistaken. At least they lost. I don't feel like I hear you now. No. Okay. I'll talk to Nick.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh, and you're back.
Yeah. The Leafs play so much hockey in December. He just brought that up.
I just looked at it on TV a lot.
Yeah.
It's insane how much they play.
They also got to factor in the crammed season because of the Four Nations tournament.
Yep. And hey, I just want to add to that Bruins thing. Remember yesterday, Valley was saying he thinks they kind of stink. He thinks they could miss playoffs. And then they got smoked by the Preds 9 seconds later.
God, I'd love that. Just suck.
They're
3-3-1,
minus three goal differential.
Just be bad.
I
don't know what
the numbers are bad. The underlying numbers are ugly. Like, they look like this right now. They're in a clump at the bottom left of my with the bad team, Chicago, Philly, San Jose.
Yeah, and we still haven't seen Brad Marchand at his best, and he's getting up there as well.
And hey, we also met, he was picked for Canada already, Marchand. He's one of the guys that they picked. He might be their 15th best forward if he doesn't figure it out here.
Mm, that is interesting. Yeah, he was one of, like, the original, like, guy.
He's picked. It's like him and Braden Point and Makar and McKinnon or...
Sidney Crosby probably involved.
Crosby's probably in there. I forget how many
David
they picked,
David probably involved in well.
But, yeah, Marchand is on the team.
Yeah, it was quite the visual of Montgomery...
giving it to him.
Giving it to him over a turnover that cost them a win.
So, anyway, that's just a random thing to keep an eye on that was on my mind.
All right, so listen, it really just comes back to a good win tomorrow night for the Leafs, and they get back on track, and it looks a lot more like it did against Tampa Bay than it did against Columbus, and everything's back to normal, Sammy, for you.
Yeah.
Well, it would color the Columbus game differently if they came out and were awesome again.
Much like the Leafs playing against Sheldon Keefe. Sure, there's some boys in that Blues team that are going to be playing pretty hard on Thursday.
And someone's got to put a bell on Kyrou.
They've had a good start to the year. Like, they've played really well, and Broberg's been good for them since they signed him. Like, they've had a good start to the season. Like,
Thomas got hurt, though.
He did. IR. Or LTIR. He's long-term. So
Broken bone or something?
That's not good for them. But I'm just saying, they're going to be up for that matchup. Toronto, half the team's from Toronto, as usual. Mm-hmm. Former coach it's going to be a big test for the Leafs. Unless Jordan Binnington is really bad, but who knows?
All right.
Hope he's not, kind of.
Yeah, we need him.
We'll have plenty on St. Louis tomorrow. But in the meantime, do not go away as we go national here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We'll welcome in David Amber.
He's waiting outside the studio door. Just texting me.
Since like 6 a.m., I think. That's how badly he wants to get on this show.
First time of the year.
All right. David Amber, studio host, Hockey Night in Canada, and the NHL on Sportsnet coming up next.